Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for April the 25th, 2026. I am always amazed at the amount of people that participate in these podcasts by offering me their questions. And I always want to thank you for your interest. I am not doing this to express my quote-unquote opinions, because I don't have any. I can only give you the direct experience that I have had in my life with inner work. And it amazes me that people have questions about it. Some people are derogatory about it. Some people are critical of it. But other people are asking sincere questions. Kay from LA has been with me for years. Never met her. Don't know anything really about her, but she is always emailing me with questions. And I think it's like to test the waters and then kind of realize she isn't going to do any of this inner work. So she has all these interesting opinions about it. And one came up last week that I thought was interesting. She says in her email, "Why is my life so very difficult? So very," she said, "difficult. Nothing seems to work, not even my computer." I understand. Mine either. Apple used to be the apple of my heart and eye, because it let me do many things that were helpful, you know, to my students. But now, under the Tim Cook regime, it's not very good. Anyway, Kay, this is the reason I bring that up, is because this is the way it works in this world. Things come, things go, things change. Everything's in a flux. Right now, we're in a terrible place socially and politically, and even in our environment. And all of this is based on us. And the reason that your life is difficult, all of our lives are difficult, is because we're here in this world. We're in the Kali Yuga stage of our unfoldment, where everything is hard. It's like iron. It's difficult. It's slogging through. There's a lot of mental illness in this world, and you're probably a big part of that mental illness yourself, based on the years I've known you and never met you, and you've never come into the work, basically because you're afraid. As you say, you're deeply afraid. People get afraid of inner work because they don't want to change. They want to stay the same but have their circumstances and their conditions change. That's what they want. But it never works out that way. It's never that way. So the way it all works is, as I am, so be my life. And the question that we must all ask, not only Kay, but all of us, is, what is it about me that makes my life possible the way it is? And this is not something that you take lightly. At least I don't. I look at everything in the form of what is deeply important. What is it that life is showing me about the way maybe the Gregory Edward Penn lives it? I don't do what Gregory wants. And when I don't, there are certain repercussions he puts upon me. Things like, pounding me with emotions maybe thinking that this is fair, this isn't. I don't listen to that. And Kay, here's something that might help you. Instead of responding to your emotionality, instead of being caught in the trap of emotions all the time that create thoughts, maybe a suggestion would be that you would no longer do that anymore. You would let your emotions pass, become passive towards your emotions, as I used to say when I was teaching formally to the group, the masses that were there. And it is interesting. If you were as passive towards your thoughts as you are when I'm teaching you, you'd be awakened by now. And that premise still holds true. You're not passive towards your emotions. I've had people come and go in my many years of being a teacher, over 50 years, 53, 54 years, I don't know. It's an interesting thing. The ones that stayed work on themselves ever so slightly. They at least expose themselves to me and allow me to serve them in a certain way. But the thing that is most difficult for them is in that whole idea of being with me is that they have to realize they're not willing. They're afraid. They're just not allowing themselves to transcend their own emotionality. And it is the emotions that make the thoughts. I don't care what any expert says. It is the only reason you and I have thoughts is because of our emotions. They feel threatened. They don't feel like they can survive. There's all sorts of assumptions and presumptions that go on with the emotionality of us. So with that being said, how in the heck are you going to be in a practice? You are passive towards all the teachings I've given you over the many, many years of our emailing and such. And you never show up for anything that I offer because you're afraid. You're afraid that to be wrong. That's a big one. And you're afraid that you can't see down the road far enough to realize that if you do make these changes, certain circumstances are going to change, and you don't know whether or not that's going to be in your benefit or not. And that's what you always tell me, and I understand. Life is not here to be beneficial to us. Life is simply living. How I live makes what I call my life. It really isn't true, but it's what I like to think and in my ego. But the truth of the matter is, how I live within myself either reveals life, big L, life as love, or little L, the accumulation of all of my conflicts, all of my fights, all of the things I've done. The people that come with the hope of changing their living. They don't realize that it isn't about changing our living that should motivate us. It is seeing the futility of this world and how we live in it, the vehicle we live in that operates in this world, and that's our physical body. The people that have come with hope. The people, those same people, eventually leave because they realize they're not going to do the work. They're not going to do any inner work. But what have they gained by leaving? What possibility of gain is there if you are coming to work upon yourself to change your circumstances? You have to learn the futility of that. And I know it's a bitter pill to swallow. I understand that, but nonetheless, and less than none, that's a lesson that you're futile until you want to make love possible in you, to let love live you. And you have to find that presence of love within you, which it does exist. And then instead of living from the emotionality of right and wrong, good and bad, and all that other stuff that we like to involve ourselves in, we can come to the place where we can feel the presence of something greater than our emotionality. And then our thoughts disappear, and what we have is the impression of ourselves upon our own life. And that's what happened for me. That's what could happen for you, Kay. But you're not going to do that, and I understand that, and you understand that. So I'll just keep answering your questions. I hope this helps some of you who are voyeurs and listening to my relationship with Kay, whatever it is, and I hope it helps. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Thank you for listening, and of course, as always, please forgive me. Namaste.